Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. So much rhetoric in a campaign like this, Scott. We need people who can cut to the chase, and I guess that's where the Michigan Truth Squad comes in. Want to welcome in Susan J. Demas, also a columnist, writes Capital Chronicles. Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jack?
Fine. Tell us about the Michigan Truth Squad.
Oh, it's a product of the Center for Michigan. It's a think and do tank out of Ann Arbor that's founded by Phil Power, who used to own a lot of papers in Southeast Michigan. And basically what we do is we take a look at all of those annoying ads that you see on the TV and on the internet, and we break it down and tell you what's true and what's false.
All right. There was an ad that got a lot of discussion here last week from the Michigan Republican Party, linking it to Virge Bernero, and Pure Lansing, a spinoff on Pure Michigan, the idea being that there is an endless supply of homes available, that Lansing unemployment soaring, and there's so many unemployed people here that they had plenty of time to spend with their children. The Truth Squad has looked at this, and what did they find?
Yeah, we gave the ad a flagrant foul for some of the mistruths in there. You know, basically, look, nobody is going to say that Michigan is doing well. We all know that unemployment is over 13%. Foreclosures are sky high. If you look at Lansing, though, if you had to pick a place to live, this is not one of the worst parts of Michigan. Usually our unemployment rate is one of the top three lowest. Our foreclosure rate is not nearly what it is in Detroit and Flint. You know, we have the state capital here, so we have a source of gainful employment for a lot of people. We have three law schools, a Big Ten University. They're all considering Lansing is, you know, it's really kind of emblematic of some of the good things about Michigan. And Kiplinger has actually named us one of the top 10 cities for young people. So there were quite a few things in there that were a stretch, let's say.
Susan J. Demas always calls it as she sees it, and equal opportunity ripper when the situation warrants. Talking about the unemployment crisis, what does that mean for all of us here in terms of in relation to, say, New York City?
Yeah, well, I just happened to be there over the weekend, and, you know, I noticed that the mayor there, Michael Bloomberg, who just won a third term, his approval rating is down below 50%, and it's pretty hard to find a politician who most people think is doing a good job because the unemployment rate is so high. It's not high everywhere. If you live in North Dakota or Wyoming, you're probably going to be okay. But if you live in California or Florida or Michigan, it's going to be pretty terrible. New York City's unemployment is close to 10%, even though the city seems to be rebounding in terms of tourism. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty bad situation for incumbents. And, of course, Democrats have been successful so in the last couple cycles, so there are more Democrats who are going to lose because of this. But, you know, pretty much 75% of people are impacted by the jobless crisis. Either they've lost a job or they know somebody who has. So that's a whole lot of people who are upset right now.
Susan, are we being premature as a society in assigning blame here, cause and effect, for this economic hardship? Or are the people in power right now able to do something and just not getting it done?
Well, there's really only so much that the government can do in terms of the economy. One of the curious things to me is that true economic conservatives are always saying that the government doesn't create jobs. Business leaders, you know, create jobs. And yet, whenever the economy is faltering, it has to be the fault of the government, and they need to do something instantly. Turning around an economy, especially with such a deep recession, doesn't happen overnight. And we really saw it hit a crisis level in the fall of 2008, and it continued to bottom out in 2009. So we really haven't been coming back for that long, and you can tell by unemployment that a crucial part of the economy hasn't really come back at all. So it's understandable that people are going to blame politicians in power, but realistically, I'm not sure there's too much else that people can do at the moment.
I don't recall another Labor Day where I felt labor was under assault quite like this one.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Republicans, especially in Michigan, are really using unions as punching bags. And if we just got rid of the unions and had right to work, everything would be fine.
And I'm not just talking about unions, Susan, yeah. Although I do agree with you there. I think that there is an assumption that if you are not working, you're not trying. And if you have two jobs, you better get off your butt and get a third one.
Right. You are actually hearing, really, it's just Republican politicians saying that, some of them at least, that the unemployed are lazy and they don't deserve help. There's Sharon Engel, who's trying to unseat Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. She has said that. She's also called for his assassination. So, you know, she says a lot of things, but she's in a very good position to win. This kind of rhetoric is pretty distressing. I mean, we had a global financial meltdown, and there are a lot of people who are the collateral damage, and they're doing the best they can. They're not living high off the hog collecting unemployment insurance. They pay into it. That's part of the system. And a lot of people have gone from having very good jobs in manufacturing or in the white-collar sector and never having to take jobs at Walmart and Target. Kind of hard to keep your home that way.
Yeah, when we talk about the unemployed, of course, then we have those people who have cycled off and are no longer counted. And then we have all the underemployed, as you mentioned, the people who are working at jobs far beneath their qualifications. Susan J. Demas, our guest, and she is a political analyst for MERS, and you can also read Capital Chronicles and a member of the Two Squad. Susan, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We will be right back in Hour 2. Terry Stand's going to join us. Very familiar name. A lot of people remember him from his television days. We'll be right back with that and much more. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.